the sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Betting Across America presented by BetMGM as we get your college football Saturday a-rolling for the next 6 hours here from downtown Las Vegas in our Circa Sportsbook studios alongside Wes Reynolds. I'm Ben Wilson, Jacob Roach, our producer. I will be joined a little bit later in the show by one of our esteemed colleagues, college football analyst Adam Burke from our Mandalay Bay studios. But Wes, we get right into it here for the next 6 hours. It's not necessarily a card you're going to be telling the grandkids about one day.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a down. It's a little bit of a down card, but nevertheless, here in the early slate, we do have a couple college football playoff contenders. We would assume in action. Cincinnati taking on Navy. That's going to close about 28.5 at BetMGM. So it did close above 28. I took a little small stab with Navy. Just when I get that many points with the Service Academy, even against a juggernaut like Cincinnati, have to do so. Then, of course, undefeated Michigan could be on flat spot alert. I did take 24 with
look
the Northwestern Wildcats. And it's just with Michigan, look, they come off a bye week. Now they know they're going to have an undefeated Michigan State in East Lansing next week. So that's obviously a payback spot. Mel Tucker in his first year did go in, even though it was an erratic season for Sparty last year, did go in and beat Jim Harbaugh. I don't think that sits too well with Jim Harbaugh, so they're pointing to this game. And Northwestern, at least, I think maybe has a little bit of confidence, being that they beat Rutgers last week as a home underdog. So they've lost a lot of personnel, but I thought that this was a little bit of a big number. So we do have Cincinnati. We do have Michigan in action. We have Oklahoma in action. They're a big favorite against Kansas.
Big numbers,
that is, that is a no play for me. It would be Oklahoma or nothing. So not really a lot of what you would call the marquee kind of sexy matchups that we've seen over the last few weeks. But nevertheless, a very important week. And it's always like, Ben, when we see like kind of this dull week, something's going to happen. Big upset is going to happen. It's going to shake everything
and
up.
And look, just because we don't have like the top marquee card.
If numbers are on the games, they're important.
Exactly. Well, and look, that doesn't prevent us from having high amount of fun over the next 6 hours as we get things started. Bunch of the games kicking off right now as we speak, 12 o'clock on the East Coast, 9 o'clock here on the West Coast. Thinking about it as well, you have 4 of the 6 remaining undefeated teams, at least if you're looking at the Power 5 plus Cincinnati, as you just alluded to, Wes, 3 of those 4 teams that are in action right now with monster spreads laying more than 20 points, even in a couple of those spots on the road. Really the only team, Wes, that doesn't fit that bill who is undefeated and is in a tightly lined game is basically a team in a conference that's now on life support, and that's the ACC with Wake Forest. They close a 3-point favorite on the road against Army. I know you talked about the Service Academy in Navy a moment ago, but how about the Service Academy that's been playing much better in Army this week? Kind of an interesting spot for Wake Forest that has all of a sudden, you look at the slate today for the ACC West, you have Clemson and Pittsburgh, a chance, like Clemson could very easily torpedo any Heisman hopes there in Pittsburgh and any potential hopes for an ACC title appearance for the Panthers. Wake's kind of the last hope for the ACC. I know it's a very, very slim hope, right, to actually get into the college football playoff. We don't think that's going to happen, but is this the spot today where it ends for Wake?
Well, this is a Wake Forest team that did give up 354 on the ground against Syracuse 2 weeks ago. So, oh, by the way, you're playing Army, who's one of the number one rushing offenses in all of college football, as they always are, running that triple option. So you have seen a little bit of late trickle of money toward Army here, where it's Army, it's juice to the Army side, where it's still 3, but it's like 3 minus 115 or 3 minus $1.20. Still a flat 3 as we kick off at BetMGM.
Flat 3s, abounding. Yeah, see that at a couple spots as well. Behind us at Circa as well. That's how it closes. All right, we have a lot to get to. Let's first, though, give a shout out to our sponsor of the show, BetMGM. As football season is well underway, it is time to download BetMGM Sports, Nevada's premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We are going to get into our heart versus smart plays in just a moment. Wes, we talked about some of these massive spreads. I wanted to get your thoughts as we see these games start to kick off. Just from your standpoint on the in-game perspective for today, what bettors should be looking for? Because normally, like, there's certain ways you can attack in-game, but on a slate like today, especially if you're looking at these big favorites, I think the natural inclination is going to say, oh, if Oklahoma somehow goes down 10-0, they close, by the way, 38.5 at BetMGM, largest line on the board of the ranked teams in action. Or, yeah, let's just say Cincinnati laying 28.5, they go down early. Is it as simple as that today for U.S.? When you think about in-game, you said there could be one big stunner out there today. Is that how you're going to attack things? Or are you more inclined to, just because those lines are so high, maybe lay off some of the favorites who get down early today, since you're probably still going to be laying 14 up to 20 in some of these spots?
Yeah, some of them I'm going to lay off. And then maybe in terms of playing this, not necessarily in-game, but you could maybe look at some of these underdogs in the first half, like perhaps a Navy, like perhaps a Northwestern, these teams getting big numbers where it's like they got enough to hang in for 30 minutes, but maybe not 60 minutes. And if they get off to a good start, obviously that changes the game and that puts a lot more pressure on these teams. The pressure is only going to mount until we get to November 2nd when those first college football playoff rankings are officially released. So the pressure is going to mount early on, really, for all of these playoff contenders. By the way, we do already have one score on the day.
Boy.
Our first touchdown of the day is Texas Tech. 45-yard run, 30 seconds into the game.
We're 6 minutes into the show.
Yes, 7-0 now, Texas Tech. Kansas State, by the way, we did have a favorite flip here. Kansas State closed as one-point favorites at BetMGM, 60.5 the total. So now the updated live price, and it's not up. They're still pricing it. But nevertheless, Red Raiders, first team to score on this college football Saturday.
I know Chrissy Andrews, our friend over at the South Point, runs the sportsbook over there, does always throw up the prop, first team to score. So cash that ticket if you took Texas Tech today. Not one of our, I know it's, we say not really any marquee games. It's a couple of teams who have really struggled. So we'll see if there's anything worth getting into later there. However, Wes, we do have to get to our heart verse smart plays. So I know.
Well, you actually followed the format
of the show
and sent yours in, and I forgot to do so.
It's all right. Wes, you have so many plays. It's probably hard to fit on.
I've got heart plays, smart plays, sharp plays, whatever you want to call
it. We are going to be joined a little later this hour by our good friend Kenny White, outstanding college football handicapper with CBS HQ. He has a couple opinions on some of these games that I brought up. My number one heart play, and we looked up, College Game Day was just wrapping up a few minutes ago, probably the kiss of death, because everybody on the panel picked Oklahoma State outright as a 7-point underdog on the road against Iowa State. I want with all my heart, Wes, to just say, you know what, this is a ridiculous line. Oklahoma State should not be getting 7 on the road as a undefeated top 10 team against a team in Iowa State who has underperformed many big preseason expectations. However, you can talk more on this, Wes. We have been down this path before. It is not the first time a team in Oklahoma State's position has been catching an abnormally high amount of points on the road, and we've seen this play out. The last one, I remember Utah a few years ago going into a bad USC team. USC was favored by, I think, 6 or 6.5, and the Trojans blew them out of the building. So what are your thoughts on this? This is not one I'm going to touch. It's firmly in the heart plays, Wes, but I don't know. I really want to see Oklahoma State at least cover, if not win the game. I think they're the better team. I'm just not sure that's actually going to happen today.
Well, I did lay it with the clones, and this isn't something I'm totally in love with. But if you look at Iowa State this year, they are number 3 in the nation in total defense. They're only giving up 252 yards a game. They're in 4th in passing yards allowed, 154.5, 14th in rushing defense. So this is a team, I know, that when they lost to Iowa, remember how they outplayed Iowa by a big margin. They almost doubled them in yards. Unfortunately for the clones, they were like -4 in turnover margin because Iowa had been forcing turnovers against everybody until Purdue last week when Purdue won the battle and hence won the game. So I think you're kind of seeing Iowa State get a little bit right here, because I think before the season, Ben, in the Big 12, everybody's like, okay, this is the challenger for the Sooners. This is the team that's going to be in the Sooners' way in terms of winning the Big 12 or perhaps getting to the college football playoff. Then what happens? Pedestrian win over UNI in the opener. Then they lose to Iowa. They lose at Baylor, you know, and then their wins UNLV, Kansas State. I liked how they look against Kansas State because the market came against them last week and actually bet Kansas State as kind of a trendy underdog. And Iowa State absolutely put the boots to him. So, look, Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy's done a good job losing Wallace to the pros, losing Chuba Hubbard to the pros. I have to give him credit. and respect what they have done, because they have beaten some good teams. They beat Baylor. They won at Texas. They did win at Boise State. But this is where I think it might come to an end. I think both these defenses are good, but I think Oklahoma State's offense, it's not the Oklahoma State offense we're used to seeing out of Mike Gundy when Mike Yurcich was there, and they're rolling up 50, 55 points every single week. So I just don't know if they're going to be able to keep up. I know that's a big number, so I did lay it with the Clones, though. It wasn't something that I really stepped out and went to war with or something like that. But, you know, I felt it was the right spot for Iowa State.
Didn't pull out your Triton with
Iowa
State.
No, I did not.
They were in the among the BetMGM Insights second most bet team this week by handle. One of the other games I had in my heart plays, Wes, this was actually the most bet team by ticket count, LSU plus 7.5. I was looking, though, at the total in this spot. BetMGM, it's been bet up to 77, LSU and Ole Miss. And this is just strictly from the heart saying, look, Matt Corral, co-Heisman favorite, the quarterback for Ole Miss, really struggled last week, barely completed 50% of his passes in that eventual win at Tennessee. Look, 42-35, Wes, gets you an over here. So on paper, it's like, how does this not hit? But again, I'm going to stay away because you know as a bettor, you're paying a tax for these
titles.
Well, and
Matt Corral, by the way, is going to play for Ole Miss. So that's obviously good news if you're on an over. And then where is LSU right now? You know, Coach O is a lame duck coach. Is it kind of like, you know, it just seems like one of those games where it's like it's going to be shootouts pretty much for the end of the season.
Speaking of those Heisman candidates, we go to Heisman Watch on the other side as you see the updated boards, LSU and Ole Miss a little bit later today. We'll talk about that next as we're just underway. 6 hours coming your way right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA season might have tipped off, but there is still time to grab your copy of the VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide. It has strategies, predictions, and best bets to stay ahead of the odds makers. Our hoops experts, including Jonathan Von Tobel, provide strategy and advice as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. The digital guide is a must-have. So give yourself a betting edge this season and get your copy now for only $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. As we are back, just getting started, Betting Across America here on a Saturday, back with Wes Reynolds. I'm Ben Wilson. We'll get to our Heisman watch in a moment. A couple of interesting Big Ten names to talk about in just a second, Wes. But we talked about the one undefeated team in action that was not laying a big number, Wake Forest, and they're off the mark. Christian Turner punches it in from 4 yards out. How about Wake going to Navy to Army? My service academy switch up, Wes.
They're both
in action right now, but it's Wake who gets the early score.
7-0 for Wake Forest, currently 6-0, number 16 in the rankings, and they do get a nice kick return to start, gives them a shorter field. They punch it in, 11:41 left to go, so 7-0 there. Texas Tech, another score, by the way, 14-0, very early up on Kansas State. Texas Tech, we almost kind of forgot about them, because remember when they got boat raced by Texas a couple weeks ago and got doubled up, 70-35. This Red Raider team is 5-2. This isn't a bad ball club.
I definitely forgot about
them. And they're certainly up 14-0. One team that has been forgotten about, and probably rightfully so, Florida State. They are playing UMass today.
Oh, they're playing today? Oh,
and
wow.
Florida State is trailing early, 3-0, just 2.5 minutes into the game. Florida State minus 32.5, 59.5 currently at BetMGM. No score in the Cincinnati Navy game. Navy's gotten two stops already on the Bearcats. Right. So big number for the service academy to take here. And, you know, this one of those games that I thought it's going to be a little bit trickier maybe than you think for Cincinnati. Also, still no score with Oklahoma, Kansas. Same for Northwestern Michigan. And one injury update, by the way, Penn State did close minus 24.5 at BetMGM over Illinois. Sean Clifford was questionable throughout the week. Of course, was knocked out in the Iowa game. Sean Clifford is starting for the Nittany Lions.
He is starting. All right. Come on. Florida State, I don't care that it's UMass. I mean, it could be a Whittier College of California, Wes. They shouldn't be laying 35.5 to anybody. That was the closing line, 35.5. I know it's UMass. They're down 3-0 early. I hope we don't. Luckily, we've all the TVs with the screens on in our outstanding Circus Sports studios here. That game will not I guarantee it was. Even if it's an upset alert, that will not be on our any of our screens.
At any point. It's like, do we call an audible like that Jacksonville State game a few weeks ago when they had that Hail Mary run in for the touchdown?
Yeah, we got the iPad today, Wes. Mm-hmm. This is where this comes in, Eddie. Let's get to our Heisman watch because we have a couple of Big Ten players in action coming up later today. There we go. The Heisman animation as we look at C.J. Stroud, who you see the numbers, Wes. It has been so impressive. He got that natural bump after being named the starter preseason. Was in that 15-1 range down to 12-1. And kind of you talk about forgotten teams. Not that Ohio State has been a forgotten team, but after the loss to Oregon week two, people kind of said, all right, well, clearly this team isn't going to do anything and not be in the mix for the college football playoff. But since then, they have just been destroying everybody in their path. And you look at the numbers for Stroud, those odds at 8-1 at BetMGM, not that much shorter from where he closed preseason, around 11 or 12-1. Got a lot of late money there, Wes. Any value still to be had on a guy like Stroud, especially with how well Ohio State's been playing over the last month?
I think there could be. And Ohio State, by the way, not forgotten by me, because my alma mater, the Indiana Hoosiers, will host them tonight in prime time. So unfortunate that maybe they're going to get a beat down in prime time, but I do actually kind of lean Indiana in the points. We'll get to that game later more in depth. But remember Indiana last year against Ohio State when they got down early in Columbus? Indiana is probably the team that kind of sunk Justin Fields' Heisman campaign, and plus COVID-19 did a lot of help in terms of the shuffling of the scheduling. But Justin Fields had a couple turnovers in that game. Michael Penix for Indiana ended up throwing almost 500 yards, and Indiana actually cut it to a one-score game, had a small chance at the end, couldn't get over the hump. But C.J. Stroud, I will say, and you're going to look at Indiana and say, this team's not very good. They're 2-4. Keep in mind, they've lost to four top 10 teams this year. They've lost to Iowa. They've lost to Michigan State. They've lost to Cincinnati. And then some other one that beat Penn State. Penn State was the fourth one. So this is a actual good defense for Indiana. Offensively, this team is not much to write home about, and they're going to struggle keeping up going score for score with Ohio State. But they've got a really good secondary, and they've got a really good linebacking core. Indiana's got at least a couple NFL guys on this defense, so this isn't like hot knife through butter that Ohio State had with Rutgers and with Maryland previously, and then, of course, they had the bye week last week. So, you know, if Stroud can, you know, not have one of those games where he has a bunch of turnovers, by the way, the total has come down from 60 to about 59.5, 59 pretty much market-wide. So maybe small respect for Indiana's defense. But look, if he has a good game against Indiana, I know people say, oh, it's 2-4 here. Not so fast, though, because this is a legitimate good defense with good players on the side. So this could be something to bolster Stroud's campaign. And if I was looking at kind of more of the chalky guys that we were talking about, and I think we're not going to get to it in this segment, but Bryce Young, Matt Corral, still both 2-1. That's pretty much where they were last week. If I was looking for a guy near the top that I was trying to skirt those guys, because this very well could be a weird year where you have somebody come a little bit out of nowhere, and we'll profile a couple of those guys later in the program, C.J. Stroud probably is the safest of those guys. Mm-hmm.
Well, you think about weird year, normally we think of this award as that just by nature quarterback award, and at the same time, we've seen some running backs put up gaudy numbers this year. You saw in the odds a moment ago that Bijan Robinson has been maybe the most hyped running back talked about, at least in the media this year, but he's on a Texas team that's certainly not that good. They've lost twice, actually lost three times now, and a couple in a row. So even though the numbers are great, I'm not sure you can really take him that seriously.
It is tough in the Heisman to really give, right. Because it's almost like a team award in a way that it's like the best player on the most high-profile team. You very rarely see a guy that's on a 9-3 team or an 8-4 team win the Heisman Trophy anymore, especially with so much television on here and so much showcase going on. And
it's like, well, having said that, though, I mean, you've Kenneth Walker III. That's the one scenario why we bring this up. Well, okay, theoretically, Michigan State, they're still undefeated, Wes. They could, and they are on a bye week this week, but as you talked about, big showdown coming up next week. Like, well, they could be in a spot to, like, he's at 14-1. You never know. That's at least the one position, Wes, where if you're going to go down the whole, like, you know, weird year theory, maybe there is a path for Walker.
I'm a little surprised that Walker didn't drift up, though, a little bit. Obviously, now 14-1, he has been putting up great numbers. You look at what he did, and I'll go back to that Indiana defense we were talking about with C.J. Stroud. Only 84 yards for Kenneth Walker. And yet Indiana found a way to lose a game. They absolutely shut Michigan State down. And I think they had like 241 yards, well below their average. But Indiana finds a way to lose, but I digress. But I'm surprised Kenneth Walker didn't drift up into like the 20s or the 30s, because that was not a very impressive performance. But he is going to have opportunities, and that's probably why he hasn't drifted up, because you are still going to get Michigan on the schedule. You are still going to get Ohio State on the schedule. You are still going to get Penn State on the schedule. So those are three showcase games. Those are three top 10 teams. So that's probably why they didn't drift Walker up to like the 20-1 or 25-1 range, because he's still got opportunity to impress.
Right. And we'll see. And look, Michigan State, I don't know your thoughts on betting these guys when they're on a bye. It's probably not going to change the odds whatsoever. But you wonder, I mean, you think about Michigan State going forward and the tough spots. It's like, would you be in a situation almost just compare the Big Ten odds with where with where Walker's Heisman odds are at? Because still, Michigan State's, you think about, not many people assuming they can actually do this. And when I say do this, that is actually run the table and win the Big Ten. I don't know. I think the odds there, I mean, you're still in like the, you know, 15-1 range with them. Michigan State, it's roughly the same as what Kenneth Walker III would be to win the Heisman. So, I don't know. It's an interesting correlation.
And you look at next week's spot, because I think Michigan State, I don't want to disrespect those guys, but they should have gotten beat by Indiana last week. They were absolutely outplayed. Indiana made mistakes, couldn't generate offense, some bad coaching, some bad clock management. So, is Michigan State kind of on borrowed time here? They're going to get Michigan.
You could argue Nebraska, too, was a game they got very fortunate to win as well.
Yeah, they should have probably lost that game. And by the way, Michigan State is going to get Michigan for that Paul Bunyan trophy next week in East Lansing. Yeah. Of course, a payback spot for Harbaugh. By the way, Michigan in action about midway through the first quarter. No score yet. Michigan down to 19.5, 44.5 on the total.
Okay. That's gonna be an interesting game next week. Look, I feel like
Jim Harbaugh gonna want to get at Mel Tucker. you best believe.
I feel like it's kind of a theme, especially, you know, that we've gotten obviously somewhat far into the season, but you still have a number of these teams, like we talked about Wake at the top of the show. These teams that, I wouldn't say paper tigerish, that's maybe not fair, but teams that kind of feel like, I think the term you use, borrowed time, is a good one. It's like, you know, you're kind of thinking about those, like Michigan State. Where do they fall into that? Where does Oklahoma State fall into the whole borrowed time theory here? All extremely interesting. And as far as these early games, Wesley, do you think about, all right, maybe these teams could come out a little bit flat with the huge numbers? And early on, we've seen, like, Oklahoma's struggled to move the ball. They're down 7-0 to Kansas right now.
OU, oh, by boy. The way, minus 27.5, 65.5 at BetMGM.
That's the thing we're talking about. It's like, all right, you really want to in-game a team down 7, and you got to still lay 27.5. That's part of how the algorithm works. I don't know if I really want to do that. We've seen OU struggle with some pretty bad teams this year. I mean, Kansas is on a different level, but come on. So 7-0 KU on top of Oklahoma. All right, when we return, I know I mentioned Oklahoma State in my heart plays. Our guy Kenny White, college football handicapper at CBS HQ, he's got some thoughts on that one. We're going to talk to Kenny next right here on Betting Across America.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. Betting Across America on a Saturday from downtown Las Vegas, back with Wes Reynolds. I'm Ben Wilson. Look, we know Wes coming in was not a slate we thought would be amazing, but he called it. He said, you know what, there might be a shock or two here. And as we went to our last break, Oklahoma goes down 7-0 to Kansas as a 38.5-point closing favorite. And now Cincinnati gets a score against them. Wes, I know it was under review there, but it looks like the Navy bunch have gone up ahead. It's a 29-point closing underdog there.
Anchors away for the Naval Academy. 13 plays, 79 yards, 7.5 minutes off the clock. Vintage Navy drive, and that's exactly what you want to do, is shorten this game. Now Cincinnati with the deficit, not used to having a deficit here, and they did get the money. I actually did not get the best number. I only took 28. Did close 29.5 some places, but nevertheless, a good start for Coach Ken and his guys.
I wonder what our friend Kenny White has to say about these early starts. As we welcome him, you see his work on CBS HQ, outstanding college football handicapper. Follow him at KYD Vegas. Yeah, Kenny, I mean, we opened the show by saying, all right, maybe not a card you'll be telling your grandkids about. However, we've seen some interesting action so far, and we'll get to your plays in a second. But what do you make of these slow starts, both for OU and Cincinnati so far?
Yeah, you know, the line obviously going up for top five teams, because everyone thinks, you know, they're going to run scores up, and Cincinnati's run a couple scores up. They ran a score up last week on Central Florida. So, and how impressive is that? Now Central Florida comes back and beats wins a big game yesterday over Memphis and looks very good doing it. But yeah, I'm not surprised at all though, Ben. Mm-hmm. I said this back in June or July that this was going to be the year of the upset with 1,600 super seniors on board that shouldn't normally be here. The talent level is improved across the board. And there's more parity in college football than there's ever been because of those super seniors. So the upsets will continue to happen, and they're going to continue to happen all year. Right through the college football playoff, there'll probably be big upsets in the college football playoff.
Well, one of the things that's an upset, at least if you're going by preseason, Kenny, for the college football playoff, is that Clemson is not going to be there. Currently 4-2, and they're an underdog at Pitt, and probably justifiably so, based on how the Tigers' offense has looked and all the injuries they've had. Defense is still good, but the offense hadn't been there. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh, we're used to seeing them get it done with defense. They've been getting it done with offense, and they do have a viable dark horse Heisman candidate in Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, Pickett's played really well. He's a very good quarterback, great arm, can make all the throws. It's just a well-coached football team. Pat Narduzzi does a very good job there. He just doesn't get the type of talent that Clemson gets. And you're right, the injuries just stockpiling for the Tigers. They only have five players on offense that are starting right now that I had projected in my top 11 to begin the season, and only six on defense. Even though the defense has played well, they've lost five starters off that defensive unit. Luckily, though, they were so deep on the defensive end that that hasn't mattered. I like this game under today. I think it's going to be a battle. As you mentioned, Clemson 4-2. They still have a chance in the Atlantic. Wake Forest at 4-0. If Clemson runs the table, that will be a win over Wake Forest, and they will get that head-to-head tiebreaker and play for the ACC championship. They still got a great coach. Dabo Swinney knows what he's doing, and he's been very good as an underdog, 6-2 ATS in this situation. I'm not ready to back him, though, because Pitt is very good, but I am willing to go under here.
And Kenny, starting to see some fours pop up in the market as well, especially right behind us here at Circa, as, by the way, Wake Forest 14-7 on top of Army in the first quarter. It's been a scoring bonanza there already with that total a little bit higher. That closed at 52.5. One game that we talked about earlier when we opened the show, though, Kenny, was as we got into our heart plays that we do every week on the show, mentioned how, look, Oklahoma State at +7. I so badly want to take them getting the 7 against Iowa State. A lot of money coming, though, on the Cyclones this week. We have seen this story play out before with that top 10 undefeated team going to the unranked team who's maybe disappointed based on preseason expectations. How do you see this one playing out? Are you agreeing with a lot of the bettors here who have who've steamed this thing up from 5 up to 7 now?
Yeah, I like Iowa State in the game. And, you know, it's, again, the AP poll is a popularity poll. But the thing about it is, everyone talks about it. The college kids know all about it, and you're right. An unranked team is favorite over the 8th best team in the country? Are you kidding me? How could that possibly be? Well, that's because Oklahoma State's not the 8th best team in the country. They're maybe top 40 at best. Their offense ranks 101st in the country offensively. Their defense is outstanding. But Iowa State's defense is even better. They're 9th best in the country. Brock Purdy's starting to play a little bit better here. And I love their coach, Matt Campbell. Campbell is 31-18 ATS against the conference over the last 5-plus years. Mike Gundy, 22-23 ATS. Got a nice little run here. The strength of schedule is going to really step up. Very lucky to win last week. But then again, you know, anything can happen. Turnovers can happen and make this game close. But I don't have a big edge on it, but I do like Iowa State. And I like that because when you're 8th ranked in the country, you're starting to feel really good about yourselves. There's a very good chance for a letdown where Iowa State's saying, we're not even ranked, and these guys are coming into our house. We'd love to beat this team. So I think the focus and the intensity level will be much higher by the Cyclones than the Cowboys.
That makes me feel better about my Clones play that Kenny also on the Matt Campbell and the Cyclones kind of out of sight, out of mind, and
there's a reason why I went heart play, all right? That was not my smart play, Kenny, all right? That's not getting wires crossed.
We all get some wrong every now and again, and Kenny, people have been getting it wrong if they've been back in Miami this year. Now 2-4, De'Eriq King done for the season. Van Dyke took over at quarterback last week in that shootout against North Carolina. Wolfpack now laying 3.5 at Miami. Are you going to continue to go against and kind of pick the bones that is the Miami Hurricanes?
Oh, yeah. You know, NC State was a team I was very high on to begin the year, and they're still a very talented team. This is a very good defense. And you mentioned the quarterback situation without De'Eriq King, now Tyler Van Dyke. Tyler Van Dyke was 10 for 11 with a couple touchdowns versus Central Connecticut State. But then go back and look what he did against North Carolina and Virginia. He's about 50% passing, less than 6.5 yards a pass, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. Tyler Van Dyke's a big kid, 6'4", 230, can throw it 80 yards. He's got a cannon. But the accuracy isn't there yet. The experience isn't there yet. He struggled against Virginia and North Carolina. Both teams, their defenses have faltered all year. NC State's defense is far better than both those. He's gonna be up against it today. And in Miami, when the team is bad, no one shows up. The stadium is 20 miles from the campus. It's so bad here in Las Vegas that UNLV and Sam Boyd Stadium was about 6 miles from campus, and they couldn't get any students there. 20 miles and your team's bad, no one's going to this game. There'll be more Wolfpack fans in the stands than there will Hurricanes. There's also revenge factor. North Carolina State lost last year at home 44-41 to Derek King and Miami. I know Dave Dorian's been coaching up he's been doing a very nice job as of late. 12-6 ATS his last 18 games. He will have his team ready, fired up, and in blowout mode here today.
Again, Kenny White joining us here on Betting Across America. Not only all those factors you point out, Kenny, we had the ultimate non-answer from the AD, Blake James, yesterday. If they asked him, all right, is Manny Diaz going to be back for another year? And it was the classic, well, he's just getting the guys ready to play Saturday. Not sure if that's the greatest endorsement you want. Before we get you out of here today, Kenny, we're going to go into this game a little more in depth, too, in our next segment. But want to get your thoughts on the flip of favorites that we're seeing down in Pasadena, Oregon, and UCLA. Seeing right now, as we speak, it's UCLA at -1, so maybe a little buyback coming back here today on the Oregon Ducks. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I'm always, you know, I don't have any favorite teams. My favorite teams are the ones that cover spreads. And Mario Cristobal has not done that since he's been at Oregon. Looking at his numbers, 19-21 ATS, and he's 5-8. It's gotten worse. 5-8 in the last 13 games, where Chip Kelly is 5-2 ATS this year. I think he has his best team. I thought that at the beginning of the year, that this was one of his best teams he's ever had. He's got revenge. He was at Oregon as an offensive coordinator, then the head coach. Did a great job there. He really brought this team to national prominence. 0-2 since he's been back at UCLA against the Ducks. I think third time's a charm. I think he gets it done. I like the way Dorian Thompson-Robinson's playing. Love the way the defense is playing. They look great versus Washington last week. I think they pick it up again today. They beat Oregon. Going to be a tough game. I'm going to say it's not going to be easy. But I do believe UCLA wins this thing by a field goal.
All right. Going to be a really exciting game later on today. Again, follow him at Kate Whitey Vegas, one of our favorite college football handicappers to join the show. Find his work at the CBS HQ and a great longtime friend of the network here at VSiN. Kenny, as always, appreciate it. I'll let you get back to watching the games in your bunker that you've got there. Best of luck here with the rest of your plays today.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Wes. Thanks for having me on the show today. And hey, have a great Saturday. Let's cast some tickets.
We are going to do our best with that. Wes taking some stabs on some big underdogs. One of them, Navy, gets off to a good start. However, Cincinnati, maybe on early upset alert, they do march right down the field and score. So we're tied there 7-7.
Yeah, before this drive, which Navy now has a 3rd and 10, it was 19.5 on the end game. So now all tied at 7. Penn State, by the way, in the end zone. Sean Clifford with the touchdown pass. 9 seconds left to go in the first quarter. Nittany Lions now up 7-0 over the Illini. Kansas going to lead after one quarter in Lawrence, 7-0 over Oklahoma. Sooners now down to 16.5, 60.5 on the in-game total at BetMGM.
You mentioned maybe taking a shot on some of these first half lines if you didn't want to necessarily take the dog full game. Oklahoma was laying 24.5 in the first half, 38.5 for the game. So you're halfway home if you stomached it with KU as they're up 7-0 after one. When we return, we take a look at some of our big early afternoon kickoffs, at least on the West Coast. We talked about one of those games, Oregon UCLA. That's next here on Betting Across America.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Discover what winning feels like at BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using code VSIN100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 money line wager on any college football game and either team scores a touchdown. No matter what your gridiron game is, BetMGM is always ready for the action. Enjoy parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any college football game and either team scores a touchdown. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. It is Betting Across America on a college football Saturday. Back with Wes Reynolds. I'm Ben Wilson. As we will take a look in a moment at some of our top games coming up here with the 3:30 Eastern window. However, Wes, a theme we talked about to start the show was like maybe there could be some value on some of these big dogs, especially in the first half. Well, we've reached the end of the first quarter in a couple of these spots, and as we said going to break, how about Kansas? Not only is this a 7-0 lead for the Jayhawks at home as a 38.5-point underdog, West, but, I mean, tell us about the yardage disparity. It was almost
14-0 here, too, but I believe we're going to get a holding call that's going to take that penalty off or take that touchdown off the board for Kansas. But nevertheless, Kansas is in the Oklahoma red zone, and at the end of the first quarter, it was 137 yards for the Jayhawks. And only 14 for Oklahoma.
Oh, man.
And look, Oklahoma has gone 3-and-out a couple times. Only 1 first down, 9 first downs already for Kansas. But touchdown does come off the board. So Kansas still with the opportunity to go up 2 scores here. And that price did get taken off because they thought a touchdown might have been scored. But also Navy and Cincinnati. Navy now in the red zone against Cincinnati as they get stopped there on 3rd-and-11. So likely having to settle for 3. But it was Cincinnati 19.5 here. Navy controlled the ball, and that's what we know a triple option team likes to do. Navy had the ball for a little bit over 12 minutes, and Cincinnati a little bit under 3 minutes. So that's a recipe for a big underdog to stay in the game if they can stay on the field. By the way, this drive was aided by a personal foul on Cincinnati, late hit out of bounds, but they're going to have to settle for 3 here on a 4th-and-10.
All right, remember we mentioned earlier how Oklahoma laying 24.5 in the first half, 38.5 for the game at Kansas. Down 7-0, 3 minutes into the second quarter. Cincinnati, West, laying 17.5 for the first half as Navy kicks a field goal good. So 10-7 Navy, minute into the second quarter. Those, they're still, 12 and 14 minutes respectively.
Sleepy,
but those could be non-sweaters
sleepy,
if you
fat
took
and
the,
happy favorites early.
Favorite?
And that can happen in college football. We kind of said, hey, there's not really one of those marquee, or there's some good games, but not one of those like marquee matchups like you're going to get like with, let's say if it was Alabama and Georgia or somebody like that, or Ohio State, Penn State, which we're going to get next week. But whenever that happens in college football that I have figured out over the years, when it looks like kind of a boilerplate Saturday slate, some things be happening.
You never sleep on a college football Saturday, Wes. You never sleep on the card. And your favorite phrase, the fat and happy.
It's yes.
Nothing makes Wes Reynolds happier than seeing the teams actually look fat and happy.
It takes somebody that's fat and happy to know something that's fat and happy.
You said it, not me.
I know.
You assigned it
I'm
to yourself.
I'm very self-deprecating.
Okay, that's okay. As we take a look ahead to some of the games that will start just after 3 o'clock on the East Coast, is right now, we'll continue to potentially identify some in-game spots, but want to still look ahead some of the marquee matchups coming up. There are some, at least of the overall card today, some pretty significant games starting at least just after that 3 o'clock Eastern hour. One that we did talk about with Kenny a moment ago, Wes, was this Oregon-UCLA matchup. We opened the show talking about, all right, how about the ACC? Kind of on life support as far as teams with chances to make the college football playoff. You could make the same argument right now for the Pac-12, that it's basically down to Oregon and a game at UCLA where the money throughout the week has steamed in on the Bruins, flipping the favorite from where it opened at Oregon, minus a point or two. Now UCLA market-wide, minus one. We talked about some of these big moves in some of the other games, Wes, and now you've tended to side with some of the line moves here, especially like in the case of Iowa State. Are you in agreement as well with a spot like this for UCLA?
Yeah. Okay crowd, by the way, today for college game day out in Los Angeles.
DeWalt was there.
Not quite, Tuscaloosa or a place like that, obviously, because college game day starts at like 4 in the morning. You got to be there for this, but decent crowd out there in Westwood. But nevertheless, UCLA, unranked favorite here. I understand why. And look, you look at Oregon, besides the win at Ohio State this year, the Ducks have not covered games, as Kenny White pointed out. But I think that does get baked into the number here. I know the storyline here, Chip Kelly gets his old school, and now he finally has some dudes at UCLA, where obviously the spread would indicate that this is going to be a lot more competitive, that the talent gap has certainly narrowed. And look, you look at a team like Oregon, you know, top 10, they did, of course, lose to Stanford, but putting aside that Stanford game, they haven't really looked the part. They haven't looked like a college football playoff contender. I think they played like their best game at Ohio State, and that's why that moved them up. And, you know, I don't want to say that they're totally eliminated, but, man, I think they need a lot of help if they're going to get in the college football playoffs. So that's why I'm not, you know, really convinced, okay, this team's right on the precipice here. They're going to need some dominoes to fall for them to even have a chance. So I don't want to say that they're out, but their hopes, I think, are hanging by a thread here. Look, Oregon is still more talented than UCLA, even though Chip Kelly and his guys have closed the gap in terms of talent-wise, in terms of recruiting. Oregon is still the most talented team in this conference. This is an absolute step up in class for the Bruins, who, you know, couldn't really quite get away from UW last week, from Washington. Washington really made mistakes. Actually, Washington was driving to tie the game. Dylan Morris threw an interception, overthrew a guy, and UCLA was able to run out the clock. So, you know, Chip Kelly, if you look, they're ninth in the country in rushing defense, giving up just 91 yards a game. So they've run the ball well, and they've stopped the run well. Travis Dye is now taking over for C.J. Verdell, who's out for the season. But Travis Dye did fill in. Oregon usually has multiple good running backs anyway. Had 145 yards on the ground, also caught 7 passes for 73 yards. So, look, you can make up for that running back, I think. So I don't think that that's that big of a deal. I did not bet this game because I think it is, like the spread indicates, basically a coin flip game. But if I did, I actually lean to the Ducks here. I just think that this is a step up in class for UCLA. Is DTR going to be turning the ball over? That's something you worry about. Anthony Brown has been much maligned up there in Eugene as a quarterback because it's like, you know, sometimes the offense looks stagnant. Like, he's been booed in Autzen Stadium, but he's come up big in clutch moments in the fourth quarter. He did it against Fresno State. He did it against Ohio State. He did it against Cal last Friday night. So, you know, he's doing just enough to win. So if I had to, I'd take the one or take the money line with Oregon. There are a couple ones where Oregon is favorite, but basically most of the market, like BetMGM, has the Bruins laying one.
Well, you mentioned Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the UCLA quarterback. Whenever I watch the Bruins, Wes, it's the one thing that would hold me back from really wanting to play UCLA. As talented of an athlete as he is and a great dual-threat option, you just get the sense from the play calling like they're so afraid of the bad turnover with him that it has just been incredibly conservative when they look at their passing game. You think about last week against a really, really bad Arizona defense on the road. He goes, 21 of 26, but passes for 183 yards. He didn't turn the ball over last week, Wes, but it was kind of like, all right, let's just put ourselves in positions to not give the ball right back and keep Arizona in the game. I'm just not sure, especially stepping up, like you mentioned, the step up in class of what we will see out of them today. We've already seen some craziness in the Pac-12 as well. We almost saw the Jed Fish-led Arizona Wildcats pull it up over the disappointing Jimmy Lake-led Huskies last night.
That was a brutal game last night. That was an absolutely brutal game. Washington, I don't know.
The Pac-12, man.
They're
can't
just
make
not
it
inspired up there in Seattle, and I don't know why Jimmy Lake isn't going with Damon Heward's son, Brock Heward's nephew at quarterback.
He got in a little
digress.
Bit last night. But yes. Yeah, we digress.
Make
we
the change.
Wes Reynolds is saying it. Make the change. All right, let's transition from the Pac-12 to the SEC, a conference that's got a little more in the blue blood category, to say the least, although Georgia on a bye this week. We will see. I mentioned my heart plays earlier today, LSU Ole Miss. We will see the guy battling Bryce Young, and we're going to talk about those two at the top of the Heisman board a little bit later on in the show with Matt Corral at the quarterback helm for Ole Miss. So you mentioned earlier in the show, Wes, he was cleared to play today, and we've seen some of the over money trickle in on this. 76.5 up now. I'm seeing some 77 start to pop. I know on the surface, I would love to just say, all right, let's just take this over blind because LSU's defense is bad. We know now, first game since Ed Orgeron, it has been announced he won't return. You wonder if they kind of blew the wad a little bit in that emotional win over Florida at home. What do you think about a spot like this where Ole Miss is laying 7.5 off a pretty disappointing showing in Tennessee, even though they found a way to win?
Yeah, and I'm seeing 9 now with Corral being upgraded to probable. But I would only go your way with the over here because this seems like last team with the ball wins. But, you know, LSU, look, Coach O lost the team. can he keep the team now that he's a lame duck coach? And look, a nice win for them last week, but I'm probably staying out of the spread factor. That's here.
Nine for Ole Miss, and 77, your total. On the other side, we'll talk some Heisman candidates and keep you posted on all the games in progress as we roll into Hour 2 right here on Betting Across America.